One Uppers podcast listeners. You're now listening to episode 28 of the One Uppers podcast. Joining me today is EGM Live's most hated listener, and he's actually outlived the podcast, Duck Hunter 007.
They like barely remember me. Like, Jen remembers me a little bit, but that's about it.
Your fame has faded.
I do comment on Jen Sao's personal blog, though, with the alias Duck Hunter 007, so.
All right. I guess we'll just jump into what you've been playing, and I want you to start with the game that I personally gave you.
Oh, man, I haven't gotten that much time to play with it, but I did play the first level.
All right.
And that would be Cho Aniki for, what was it, the TurboGrafx-16. On the virtual console. And, you know, you had some spare Wii points lying around, so you decided to send me a little gift, and I couldn't pick, and you send me the manliest shooter ever, or at least the first installment of the manliest shooter series. And, I don't know. I can barely understand it. It's like, it's a, you know, one of the shooters like R-Type or Superstar Soldier, and it's ridiculously hard. One hit will knock you down, and there's like 20 things flying at you on the screen at any point in time. But I mean, it's all right. I haven't seen anything, you know, unbelievably queer on there. Like, when you die, though, if you get a game over, there's a guy that flexes his muscles as the countdown thing goes down. But I don't know. It's not that bad of a gift that you were hoping for.
Actually, I knew it wasn't that bad, but I was just looking around thinking what to give you, and then I remember Cho Aniki, and I was like, this is so fucking gay, he'll love this.
It turns out it's not that bad.
That's why I didn't, because I didn't want to give you, like, Urban Champion, even though you already have it.
Yeah.
But so nothing on par with that, but I wanted to give you something at least that might be good. I'm not that heartless.
Might. So instead of giving me something that would actually be good, that I would actually want, like, say, Kirby 64 or something like that, you decided to give me Cho Aniki.
What can I say? What can I say? All right, what else you been playing?
Actually, I've been getting into Kingdom Hearts for the first time, which I'm really enjoying. I mean, I can understand why so many people love this series. It's a lot of fun. Have you played it before?
The first one?
Yeah.
I have, actually.
Okay. I mean, I'm about 10 hours in, so I don't know how far that would be. I've gotten through a few worlds, and it's a lot of fun. I do have some complaints about it, though. I mean, the camera is probably the biggest problem I have with this game, because you don't really have that much control of your camera. What you would normally use, the right analog stick, that's not used. Instead, you use the L2 and R2, and it gets to some points in the middle of battle where you need to adjust the camera to see exactly where you're going, because Sora will just leap anywhere on the battlefield because he instantly locks on to a random enemy, and then you have no clue where you're going. So, I mean, that's kind of my biggest problem with it. Otherwise, I'm really liking it. You know, I mean, Disney plus Final Fantasy equals win.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of either, so I played a little bit of it. But I just got lost and stuck, and I was just like, whatever. I wasn't enjoying it that much anyway.
Oh.
I mean, I can definitely see why people enjoy it, but I just never had the motivation to keep going.
Yeah, I'm having a really good time with it. I mean, the camera is just my biggest problem with it. Everything else is great, though, that I've been seeing in it. And besides Kingdom Hearts, I played a little Viva Piñata for the DS. And
oh, yes. I've been wondering about that game.
It's Viva Piñata, pretty much.
Really?
They perfectly transitioned Viva Piñata 360 to the DS. I mean, there's not as many things you can do in it, but the basic gameplay, and it gets rid of some of the more annoying things that you had in the 360 version that kept bothering you, like the helpers that didn't really help, and everything's kind of been condensed in the shopping menu, I guess you could say. But yeah, everything, it's great. It plays perfectly on the DS. It's Harvest Moon meets Pokemon, and you know, it all works.
Anything else?
I guess that's about it for me.
Alright, I've only really been playing one thing, and that's my newest buy from the Virtual Console, and that would be Yoshi's Story, which was released in 1997 on the 64, and it's the sequel, well, sort of, to one of my favorite games on the Super Nintendo, Yoshi's Island. And Yoshi's Story is just a mess of a game.
What? I loved Yoshi's Story, man.
Let me explain. At first, it's not that bad. I mean, it plays well, it controls well, and it looks gorgeous. I can't believe how absolutely amazing the graphics looks. I mean, it's probably the best-looking 2.5D platformer I've seen in a long time. I forgot how good it looked. But kind of wish they would adapt that style to the Yoshi's Island DS, but whatever. But I just don't really get the stages. You can't, like, there's, like, all these little storybooks, but you can only do one. And then once you pass that, they open up another storybook. And you pick the random stage it offers. So you kind of, if you beat it, you have to really beat it, you have to beat it, like, four times or something like that. But I really don't get why you have to go through a stage and collect all this fucking fruit. Once you collect enough fruit, you win. That sucks. I hate that. It's gay.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about with the random level, like one level from a storybook. I don't know, because I remember when I played Yoshi's Story that, you know, you could access all of them in one playthrough.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking
about.
There were,
like, multiple exits and stuff like that.
But I haven't played much of it just because I just don't have much time anymore, and I just really don't have the motivation to keep playing, especially after just not liking it that much. Are some of the later levels any good?
The later ones, they do get a little bit harder. I mean, it's not significant because, I mean, kids can play this game.
Yeah.
Like, it was made for kids, but
I kind of feel like I'm in a barren cave in most of these stages. Barely anything to attack me or anything to do except for eat fruit.
A bit of the later stages get more interesting, but, I mean, the gameplay remains the same.
How do you feel about the egg throwing this time? In Yoshi's Island and Yoshi's Island DS, they had this little auto-aim for you, and it'd go really fast, and I really like that, but I kind of don't like the new kind of targeting system for Yoshi's Story where you actually aim with the analog stick by yourself. I kind of stand in one place for a long time, and I actually accidentally get hit by, like, a big skeleton thing that was in one of the stages. I just kind of didn't like that at all. Kind of wish they stuck to the old one. How about you?
Well, I haven't played this in a long time, but I mean, if you can control it with the analog stick, then at least you can get the direction that you want. It's not auto aiming like the DS one, true, but I mean, in the original, what was it, Super Mario World 2 or something like that?
Yeah.
Whatever the hell the title was. I mean, it was just a little fan that went back and forth like a little sprinkler thing, and then you'd have to release it at the right time. So you're still standing in one place. And you still had to wait for the perfect moment. And with this, it goes by a little bit quicker, I would imagine.
Well, I just felt like, with the auto-aiming, I kind of aimed perfectly anyway. And
yeah,
with the analog stick, it took just a tiny bit more time. And that time just kind of messed me up a little bit.
That adds to the challenge of the game.
Don't do that Resident Evil bullcrap where they say the game's better or more scarier just because they made it worse.
it's the little things. See, if you're not auto-aiming, if the game's not aiming for you, then you're playing the game, and the game's not playing itself.
All right, let's just move on. And I guess that wraps it up for what you've been playing. And when we get back, we'll start with news. So stick with us. Welcome back. This is going to be our news segment, and Duck Hunter's still with me. Our first news story will be Oh, we'll fight Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts owners who recently picked this game up. Now, it only affect the people with standard definition, because when they brought it home, practically all the text in the game was unreadable. At first, Rare was said they couldn't fix these problems because they didn't feel like it was necessary. But now they admit that now they confirmed that they will fix the text, so people on a standard definition television can actually read this game. Did you pick this one up?
I heard about the story. I didn't think the game was out yet. I thought it was coming out the 14th. You know, I mean, it's kind of like the Dead Rising thing, where the text is too small to read on the standard TVs. And a lot of people don't have HD TVs yet, so, I mean, not being able to read the text, it was kind of a turnoff for me.
Especially when a lot of kids will pick up this game, and there's a lot of, I guess that little custom vehicle thing might need some text anyway.
Yeah,
so you
like
might
the
get a little
tutorial and stuff.
Yeah. Not cool, Rare. Not cool. But at least you're fixing it. What can
we
we
still
say?
Love you.
I don't.
Viva Pinata. Now we got Banjo back. I mean, just forget Perfect Dark. Forget, well, not Perfect Dark, but Perfect Dark Zero. Forget Cameo. Forget Grabbed by the Ghoulies. Just
forget Star Fox Adventures. Ugh. Oh, that game sucks.
It was bad if you went into it expecting a Star Fox game, which God forbid you were thinking that a Star Fox title would be a Star Fox game, but...
No, it's just... Well, let's not get into this discussion, because I got so much shit. I got so much time to crap. I mean, I don't have the time to shit on Adventures as much as I want to. We'll be here all day. But let's move into our next story.
You had a staff, and you had a little dinosaur that could light things on fire.
Well, that's cool.
It was a platformer, and it rocked.
But our next story is about PETA, the little company that wants to defend any animal that gets hurt or injured or suffer. They don't like that. And
I thought you were talking about a developer for a second.
And they convinced Sega to pull an ad for Samba de Amigo that was on TV and whatever. Basically, the ad showed a family playing the game, and then a monkey would come through the door. It was all live action, so PETA complained that monkeys who go through television get taken away at an early age. They get beaten, stuff like that, to be trained. And then once they reach puberty, where they're too sexually active to really control, they just dump them off at some zoo.
Put them on 4chan, let them roam around a little bit, see the scary things on there.
But Sega has agreed to pull the ads for Samba de Amigo, even though they've been out for a while now. But good for them, I guess.
You
but
gotta
the
imagine
damage
that
has been
PETA
done.
Writes in. PETA writes into every person that makes a commercial with an animal in it.
Did you ever hear about the breast milk thing for like Brewsters?
No.
They asked Brewsters to change using cow milk to women's breast milk, and Brewsters were like, no. Sorry.
Now, there are plenty of women out there that will be more than happy to help you out, Brewsters.
I have to take it out personally, okay? If you ever want that to happen. That's actually a pretty good idea, PETA. Pretty good idea. But
innovation. That's fine.
You ever see that South Park episode where it was all about Stan not wanting to vote for the school mascot? And then PETA came to take the South Park cows away from them. And then Mr. Garrison was suggesting new mascots like the Indians and the Red Chiefs or something like that. And then one of the girls says, but isn't that just as offensive? He's like, no, Wendy, PETA doesn't give a fuck about people.
It's
and they
true,
don't.
Though. It's very true.
All right, Nintendo DSi owners might be a little disappointed because, well, the pirates, should I say, because the DSi will not support the R4 or other popular flash carts, which allowed users to actually pirate old games and actual DS games. So, sorry about that, guys.
It doesn't really matter now anyways, though, not that there's an SD card reader in there.
Yeah, but Nintendo's really, really, really pissed about that R4 shit, because a lot of people are just getting free DS games instead of free old games, which they can't really sell that much anymore.
Well, meanwhile, they put an SD reader into their DS, so now people can just skip over the R4 thing and just download a program. Anybody can do this now, and once they figure out how to hack it, like they did with Twilight Princess for the Wii, I mean, anybody can do this now, so they've essentially opened it up to more hackers than the R4 ever did.
You may be right. And Hiroshi Yamauchi's probably crying his eyes out because he's losing a couple million dollars. But
who cares? They're rich as fuck.
Yeah.
They don't need money.
He wants all the money he can get. What can he say? Because once he dies, I bet Nintendo will stop getting all anti-piracy. Because that's one of the reasons why they didn't even jump onto the CD bandwagon for the 64.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just, like, begging to be pirated. But
instead of letting piracy happen, they charge us $70 for N64 cartridges.
Well, at least they did better than Next Generation. Just gave us the little disc.
Okay, we're going to go off to discs, but we're not going to go the full CD-DVD route yet, no.
Well, what's
baby
the problem
step,
with that?
Several,
like, four games required you to do two discs. But at least they're on the full DVD now. What can...
Yeah, now they're going to be re-released, which is going to be great. You can buy them again.
Oh, yeah, the, what do they call it now? What are they calling that new GameCube line for the Wii?
It's like replay, reimagine, whatever.
Something like that. With just old GameCube games with new controls, like Mario Tennis, Pikmin 1 and 2, and they'll all be budget price. So it'll probably come out for like $30, like the Player's Choice on GameCube did.
The Mario
but anyways.
I don't mind so much, because a lot of people didn't play Mario Power Tennis, and I don't know, with the Wii controls, it might actually be pretty good.
I didn't really like Mario Power Tennis. I love the 64 one, but Power Tennis just didn't click that well with me.
Power Tennis was good. It was just hard as hell, and it took forever to beat somebody.
Yeah. But on to our next story. Activision's CEO explains why Ghostbusters and 50 Cent were dropped. Now, they were originally going to publish these games and let the other people develop it, but because they can't whore it out every year, or they decided to drop them because nobody wants to play Ghostbusters 2009, 2010, whatever like that. Now they're going to stick to a Madden approach where they'll do the same game every year, and he's actually admitted that. What do you think about that?
Every time Activision speaks, I just want to hit them. I mean, Activision has turned into the new EA when it comes to just corporate bragging and releasing everything over and over and over again. It's kind of annoying.
Well, good news for the Ghostbusters people. I'm sorry, 50 Cent fans, maybe you have to wait a few months, but the Ghostbuster fans have a savior for their game because Atari just announced they're going to be publishing it instead of Activision, so
great.
They'll be reaping the profits off this game.
And then they're putting it all back into the massive debt they owe.
You got to pay Phil Harrison somehow.
Damn it, Phil, why... I still don't understand that to this day. Why Phil Harrison would leave Sony for Atari?
Sony just doesn't get it. He was really on the casual games approach, and Sony just didn't really care, and then Nintendo just did all that shit. I guess he just kind of had a personal issue with them, and I guess Atari offered him more money or something like that. I mean, why would Peter Moore leave for EA? Microsoft's a bigger company.
It was either Nintendo or Peter Moore, where they didn't want to make the move, something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, who cares? But next up, Sega announced the Sonic's Ultimate Genesis Collection for PS3 and Xbox 360, which is basically just a bunch of Genesis games on one disc. I think it's like 40 plus some unlockables, but
And it's not going to be a $60 budget price, $30.
And it's not going to be on Wii because they won't just sell on Virtual Console, unlike SNK, which will actually release those compilation discs on Wii as well.
It's like, if you think about it, you pay, like, what? On Xbox Live, it's like $5 for Sonic. So take 8 Genesis games times 5. That's $40 already if you're just downloading them. I mean, this is a pretty good deal.
Yeah, just if you only see, like, one or two titles that you really like, you might as well just download them, but... That's kind of what I felt like about the SNK collection for Wii, the Volume 1. I just kind of looked at the back of the box and I was like, You know, I just don't really want some of these. I'd rather just buy it when it comes, when it drops down to $10. But
just think about the massive amount of achievements this disc is going to have.
Well, it might only have like as much as a full retail game.
Well, yeah, but
oh.
I mean, if you consider it, like 5 points for beating just one of these Genesis games. So you got like what? An insane amount of achievements that people are going to be gobbling up for this.
Let's not talk about your nerd points.
My nerd points are pretty awesome. Let me show you them.
Good news for Europeans, because the Mortal Kombat versus DC Universe game is going to be censored. The fatalities are going to be censored for America because DC really wants that game to get a T rating. But in Europe, they have a different rating system, so Joker's fatality will actually not be censored in the European release. So,
import.
One time, Europeans actually get a lucky break. But they'll probably have to be waiting a couple months to get it anyway.
Like, Joker's
like
fatality was the coolest thing about this game, and now that they've censored it.
Yeah. At least we get to see it. We got to saw it instead of just hearing about it. Oh, here's a good one.
Okay.
Burnout Paradise fans can look to new DLC, and one of the new cars coming in a couple months is a...
Hover car.
No, you ruined it. Yeah, it's a DeLorean lookalike that actually kind of hovers. You won't be able to travel in time, but man, you'll look kind of cool on Burnout Paradise. But I'm sure Back to Future fans are going to be eating this one up. How about you?
You know, it's a little disappointing that you have to buy it, but I don't know if they've even said that you're going to have to pay for it. Probably, though. I'm wondering if you can use it online, though, because if you can use it online, that's going to be the most annoying thing in the world. It's going to be the new katana armor.
You'll hear people just quoting lines from Back to the Future.
Marty!
When this race starts, you're going to see some serious shit. But, next up is kind of disappointing news for DSi fans once again. The battery life is supposed to be a lot shorter than the DS Lite, not because the screen's brighter, but because it has a faster processor, and I guess that requires a lot of the stuff that's like the camera and the new menu, I guess, because why would it need a faster processor for the already games on it anyway?
Yeah.
I'm sure it won't be.
Camera's not that great anyways.
Sure won't be like an hour, but you'll definitely be wanting to save your battery life a little bit more. You want to keep a better eye on it, should I say.
It's going to be the first generation of PSP batteries.
Yeah. Well,
so
I'll be getting
the
anyway.
Opening credits of Spider-Man, maybe get to the main menu of the DSi, and yeah, you're done.
All right. Trigger DS buyers will at least be looking to one new ending for the game. Now, I've never really played Chrono Trigger, so this new ending, I won't even notice this is a new ending, but I hear there's a lot of insane endings. You have to put, like, hundreds and hundreds of hours into it to actually get the true ending or something like that. You ever
or
play Chrono Trigger?
You can just do what everybody else does and go on YouTube. I mean, I've never played Chrono Trigger myself, so I wouldn't know if getting a new ending would be that awesome, but
yeah,
it'll
be
any day.
Gotta give them no reason to spend $40 on the game.
I think just putting Chrono Trigger in the title is reason enough. Some of those fans are diehard.
Yep. The Wii Internet browser is actually getting an update in a few months or a few weeks. I'm not sure. I didn't write it down. But basically, it'll just support newer Flash. The interface will be a little bit more touched up. Nothing really significant. And it probably still sucks, so. But the people who did pay for it will be able to download it for free, so. Can't really complain about them making a new one. But I haven't heard if you, like, downloaded it for free before they started charging, if you'll have to pay for it or not.
It probably will. I mean, a lot of the Virtual Console games, when they have a little bug update or something, it just updates automatically for you or it'll let you know, so it'll probably do the same thing.
But,
it might replace the old one with this new channel and just update it automatically for everybody.
Yeah. But our final news story is about the new WiiWare and Virtual Console games for the week. For WiiWare, we have Brain Challenge and Cooking Jam.
Awesome.
I have no idea what those games are. I guess it's
Cooking Mama,
rip-offs of Brain Age and Cooking Mama. But for Virtual Console, we actually have a really good game, even though you can get it for much cheaper, depending on where you look. Mega Man 3 for NES. So.
Oh my god. Of course, nothing beats Mega Man 2. Not even Mega Man 9 beats Mega Man 2.
Yeah, but I'll be getting it, just because I've gotten every other Mega Man on the Wii Shop channel anyway. But not.
Have you beaten Mega Man 9 yet?
No, I have not beaten it.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
I'm weak sauce.
You are weak sauce. Wait, but you're playing the WiiWare one, and I'm playing the 360 one. So, I mean, you're a little bit more hardcore.
Yeah, I had to go with the better D-pad.
I've beaten the game 5 times now and gotten half of the achievements, and like 75% of the challenges. But, whatever. You can say that you're a better Mega Man fan, whatever. It's okay.
Yeah, go jack off the Splash Woman.
I will. Okay? It's going to be awesome.
You want to take some nude swimming lessons with her, don't you?
You bet. Except I'll get electrocuted. Just ask 4chan. They'll draw me a picture of it.
You ever see that picture of Splash Woman somebody drawed where she took off her breastplate?
Yeah, you showed me that one.
And it's all like machine parts, and she goes, "What did you expect? I'm a robot." But if you look for some Splash Woman fan art, it gets really, really creepy.
When doesn't it get creepy? You look up anything, Blue's Clues hentai, boom.
We just had to talk about it, don't we?
Well, we always
every episode, you
whenever
come on.
Doesn't matter what podcast, we're talking about hentai.
At least it ending as bad as the last time we did it.
Last time it got pretty damn bad. I still got that Chun-Li picture in my mind. For squatting over, just big. It was like the biggest cloud. It was like a fart mixed with shit particles combined in this, like, atomic bomb just pouring out of her ass. And I'm pretty sure she had a dick, too.
Oh, man. Good times. But when we get back, we'll clean ourselves up, and we'll bring back with the community segment, so stay with us. Welcome back. This is going to be our community segment, and we don't really have that much to talk about. Just 3 threads and 2 really news that only affects one up. But our first thread was started by grew up on PS, as in PlayStation. And he said, "What game were you playing when you found out Obama won?"
I already like this thread.
I voted for Obama, went home, found out he won, and then a couple of days later I played something. So I didn't really play anything. Where were you when JFK was shot? I was playing Space Invaders.
It's not like anybody was, you know, actually watching the election or anything. No, you were playing a game when the election was going on. And
yeah, I was on the internet, surfing around, refreshing every 5 minutes, seeing how many electoral votes he was getting. I wasn't spending time in Yoshi's story, gobbling up fruit. But how about you? What were you playing?
I could go with the easy joke and say myself. Oh, but I wasn't playing anything. I was actually had the TV on, and I was watching the results. And like, when election night is going on, why would you be playing a game?
Like those people who go to, like, amusement parks with their families and then just stay in the hotel room playing a game. What the hell? Maybe it was like Smash Brothers on day one, but still, Jesus. Get out, son. No. Enjoy life while you can.
Can you just imagine Xbox Live when Obama won on Halo 3? There's a Flash game. Hold on, I don't mean to interrupt, but there's a Flash game. It's called Super Obama World.
Oh,
yeah. I played it.
Yeah, I played it.
It starts in Alaska.
It's not that great of a game. Well, just, I can't control well on the keyboard, so I just got frustrated 2 minutes into it, and I was like, yeah, fuck this.
You can't play any platformer well.
That's true. So, are you buying Who's Nailin' Palin?
What?
The porno where some girl who looks like Sarah Palin. Hustler is making that. never heard about it?
I have. Well, no. No, now I'm going to Google it and forward it to all of my friends on AIM and Xbox Live. So there you go.
$30. A little too expensive. So far.
It'd be better if McCain won.
Nobody really cares. My friend voted for Palin. You know what I mean.
Let's do you wanna, do you got any more forum threads?
Trigger Happy, which he spells it all retarded, like TR1GG3R_H@PPY. He says, why haven't game prices changed over the years? And he's retarded because they've changed a lot.
Like we said before about the N64 cartridges being shit-fucking expensive.
Even SNES and Genesis games were high as shit.
Yeah.
And once CDs came out, where it was just basically cost pennies to actually produce the actual things on.
Like, prices. And then when you got the PlayStation, prices have gone up to $50 and $60 for disc copies.
Well, just because the new generation for $60 games is taking more people to develop the game, so
yeah.
Price has gone up, but it's been going up and down, and hopefully it will go down, because $60 for a game kind of sucks. Maybe.
So what the hell is he talking about with game prices not changing?
He just...
If you look on eBay, Chrono Trigger is like $500.
Yeah, that's true. It will go down in a few months, but our last thread is made by Ace Hunter Elite, and he spells it 1337, all the whole cool hacker way. But he says, do you work in the game industry? No, I do not. I do not work in the game industry. Wait a minute.
Is that seriously a thread you picked? Do you
yeah.
work in the game? Really? That's the best you can come up with?
The best they gave.
Fuck it. I'm listening to Pro One. I don't care.
But most of the people in there are probably just saying, yeah, I work at Best Buy, so I'm in the industry.
Well, if you work at GameStop, then yeah, you work at in the industry, in the retail, there you go.
I take the pre-orders. I'm as important as Miyamoto.
And then they have the damn GameStop conference thing where they get access to the games.
Yeah, but that's pretty much it for the threads. I can't really find any good ones, as you can see. But here's a major news for 1UP. They're about to get some new message boards. Originally, they just started using...
They're not going to use NeoGAF anymore?
You mean, like, games, not games, that thing?
Yeah, and maybe the staff will actually post on the 1UP boards and not on NeoGAF, what?
Thing. But they originally used a Lithium, which, like, Nintendo.com used that, and I think Sony did it for their forums, too, but they're self-developing this message board software, so everything on the old message boards will be locked and eventually hidden forever. But every club will now have a message board.
Oh, my God.
You won't have that. It kind of had a message board anywhere. It was only one thread.
The original message boards were perfectly good. The people could be like, oh, there's too many boards, so yeah, let's condense it to three. And now we're going back to putting boards everywhere.
Well, now we're going to have, like, games, not games. They're not going to call it that, though. And, like, Wii, PC, 360, PS3.
Then EGM, NGR.
Well, that's actually going to be a club board now. But they're going to, like, officially link it, so you actually see it. Kind of like
that,
it was officially.
That board is historic.
Well, let's not talk about it. They're subject to change. Not everything's set in stone yet, as I hear. But our final thing we're going to talk about on 1UP applies to both me and you and a lot of EGM Live listeners and readers.
Yeah.
Jennifer Zhao is leaving 1UP and Ziff Davis to work for Sega on some casual games.
I think she has.
Well, she has left, but you know what I mean. But we won't see Jen anymore. How do you feel about it, man?
It's tough because, I mean, a lot of people like me and you, we started with 1UP when there was Brian and Tahar, when there was Jen, when there was Jeff Green, Sean Elliott, et cetera, et cetera. And now, when Dan Hsu left, that was a big fucking blow. And Crispin left. Is Crispin still there?
He left.
Yeah, he left. I mean, just so many people are leaving. And, I mean, these are people that we started reading and we got to know through their articles. And I mean, now we got the kids table coming up, and I don't know. I don't think I'll be able to welcome them like I could for the people like Jen and Brian, but I don't know. It's sad to see her go.
Yeah. I mean, she got a lot of
casual games.
She got a lot of shit, like, during the last few years, especially on EGM Live. A lot of people didn't like her for some reason because they were gay. But
well,
she got a lot of shit for the Wii Music review because she gave it, like, an A-.
An A-. That one I didn't understand. That one...
Well, you haven't played the game, have you? It could be, like, A+.
I played Wii Music. It's not an A+. It's not an A-.
Well, you could understand that she would like it better than you and I. Says you would give it a higher score. I mean, I'm sure it's not like F-, but
yeah.
There was one guy on the message boards that posted, like, said she likes anything that's colorful and jingles, and he posted a picture of baby geese. He did that on her review and went on the official thread when she was leaving. What a dick. But I guess that wraps it up for episode 28. I apologize for our dirty, dirty hentai talk. We're bad Batman.
Just imagine Chun-Li squatting, her back to the camera, sort of tilted at an angle, her dick hanging down, and a big fart cloud, like Hiroshima style, with shit particles mixed in.
You remember that too much. I think you liked it.
And it's just like, and she had her hands on her cheeks, and she was pulling apart like Goatsy.
Oh. Please keep listening to us. We need the listeners. But that wraps it up for episode 28, and we are Ghost.
Oh, you fucking copycat.